everyone. Welcome to the JS Online and PackersNews.com Packers podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tom Silverstein of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm here with Jim Osarski, also of the Journal Sentinel. And Jim, we just witnessed a 31-12 Green Bay Packers victory over the Miami Dolphins that I don't know if it told us anything about anything, really, other than Aaron Jones is a really good player.
Yeah, finally. I mean, we've kind of beaten that drum for 8 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever it may be, since he's been back, of, you know, at some point for this offense to work, maybe he's got to be the reason. And, yeah, you're right. And I guess defensively, we'll flip to the other side. Miami was given the ball with plus field position 3 times in the first half, 3 field goals.
Yeah.
Now, while Brock Osweiler, to me, is a terrible quarterback, and I've said that for years, for those of you who have listened to me, it's still an NFL offense in short space, and they have scored touchdowns, and so I'll give the Packers due credit there to keep to allow their offense and to find some footing in the second half.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of caveats to that. Yeah, one was they were minus 3 of their starting offensive
linemen. That is true.
Which is, I don't know how you function without 3 of your starting. And one of those guys is a backup for Josh Sitton, who's out for the year. So
backup to a backup.
That's why I opened saying that, you know, I'm not sure what we can take out of this. Before we go on, I just want to remind everybody that our sponsor is Pottawatomie Casino. You can get on island time to win a Caribbean cruise at Pottawatomie Thursdays in November. You can go more at you can go to paysbig.com/islandtime. That's paysbig.com/islandtime. And we're going to want to feel like we're on an island pretty soon, because right after this, you know, we got, what, 2 days of coverage, and then we're off to Seattle. And it's going to be a quick turnaround. And again, my thought was, when I opened this, was what can we take from this that will pertain to the Seattle game? And I guess you answered one of it with Aaron Jones, and then the other is the defense. But we didn't say anything about Aaron Rodgers or his wide receivers. And
no.
I was waiting for them to have a breakout game, and I didn't really think they had it today. I thought they did a few things off play action with Aaron Jones, but that passing game is just not very prolific anymore.
No, and look, Aaron Rodgers missed throws again. I mean, there was a long gain to be had thrown behind MVS. You know, 2 miscommunications with Davante Adams.
Yeah.
Which is really weird to see. I mean, it's one thing for him to yell at Jamon Moore on kind of a busted pass down the line of scrimmage early in the game, but to see Adams just not running where Rodgers thought he was going on one into the end zone that was a throwaway, and another, I believe it was, again, on Miami side of the field.
Yeah.
That's just, at this point, Tom, especially because this is 2 weeks now of Rodgers practicing all, you know, every day that they practice and not having the brace and clearly looking mobile. Something's, you're right, something's broken there. And Aaron, you know, Aaron Jones is the thing that's working.
Yeah.
So that what's spinning forward, that's, to me, that's going to have to be the thing until they figure out that pass game.
Well, yeah, exactly. And the running game is going to have to be a big part of the offense. I don't know what the issue is with Rodgers. I've not seen him miss throws like that very often. He had Adams on a post route in the end zone. Should have been a touchdown. Like you mentioned, that crossing route. I thought they actually today, after a little while, they started to scheme to get Adams open a little bit more. They used him out of the backfield once. It, really nice crossing route where they got him open across the middle. And it just, you know, they got him into the end zone for two touchdowns. But still, you just don't see any continuity to their pass game.
No, it's been, which is weird to say. I think at this point, Tom, you can't. I think they're probably at just as big a loss for words. I mean, because I understand Packers fans listening to this want the head coach fired and have wanted that for however long. But I guess I was willing to give a little bit of leeway to him and to Rodgers with the play calling early, with the injuries and lack of practice, and then the new receiver. But at this point, you know, Randall Cobb has missed a bunch of games. You know, Geronimo Allison's missed a bunch of games. Equanimeous St. Brown, MVS have played enough. Rodgers has now practiced enough.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I understand people are screaming about play calling, you know, from the television or whatever, Tom, but you're right. I think if the quarterback is making more throws, this looks way different. There was a nice sort of combination route with St. Brown and MVS that left Valdes-Scantling wide open.
Mm-hmm.
It was very similar to a play. I was trying to think if it was the New England game or the Rams game, but there was a very similar action where it wasn't a pick play, but it was a where they crossed each other, and essentially it's very, very difficult in that coverage to guard that outside receiver.
Right.
That worked great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought there was some other the Mercedes Lewis big catch and run.
The second Adams touchdown was a really well-designed play.
So I think, I guess we've seen more errors coming from the guy throwing the ball, at least to me, the last few weeks, than maybe the, what were they calling it, predictable offensive system stuff that people had issues with the first quarter of the season. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know if Rodgers is bored or he's going through the motions because he doesn't like what they're doing. But, I mean, really, this guy gets a ton of say in what direction this offense goes. And he gets to pick who he's going to throw to. He gets to change a lot of plays at the line of scrimmage. Yeah, they're a matchup offense, and they're always going to be a matchup offense. They're not going to do what the Rams do. They're not going to scheme every single play. But they're not built like that either. They should be a play-action team, and I think you saw more of that with Aaron Jones getting hot. You started to see Miami had to pull out of its cover two, which they started in. And then that should have given them more opportunity to throw the ball. I'm not really sure why they didn't capitalize on that. Regardless, you know, they need to win these next two games. They need Rodgers to be razor sharp.
Yeah, and I'm just surprised that we haven't seen it yet because you know, and of course he's made good throws and good decisions. You know, he's not turning the ball over. Detroit was clearly, you know, whatever happened there, even with the fumbles from the backside, kind of out of character, if you will. But, you know, for a guy who's moving around as well as he is now, I guess I expected to see more chunk plays or big plays. And who knows, maybe he is still. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, Tom, when you know, I thought it. Could it be possible that a guy like this, even with two MVPs and a Super Bowl and all that stuff, could he be pressing?
Mm-hmm.
Is could there still be the thought of, I got to make something happen, we got to make something happen, you know, eschewing kind of safer throws or guys who are open? There was one time you turned to me on a route where you said, how could he not see this? And I think it was MVS, it was a deep post, and he's just sort of
he's got like, his arm up.
It was
know.
Like it was almost like backyard in a way, like, you know, jumping around and waving.
Yeah, I don't know. There's an element, you know, the more I think about it. So, you know, with when Jordy Nelson was here, he was kind of his insurance policy that when he left the pocket, he was going to have someone who he knew was going to be open or was going to come back to the ball or find some way. They had that great chemistry. And Adams is a really good player. But I just sense that he's moving around, and every time he leaves the pocket now, there's no outlet for him.
That is true. You see more guys continuing their route sort of deep downfield. You're not seeing the scramble drill, if you will.
But, you know, they have all kinds of rules. I mean, they have rules on what to do when they scramble. So I don't know what the issue is. I tend to think he's looking for big plays too often. And I'm really curious as to why they don't run some more and why they don't run no huddle anymore. I mean, they were running that. That was a huge staple of their offense the last 2 years, and now all of a sudden they're not. I guess part of it is having two rookie receivers, a big part of your offense, that, you know, there's so much hand signaling and intuitive stuff. But I don't see him really being very quick to the line or just controlling the tempo.
Yeah. Which will be interesting because if the head – look, on a short week, there isn't much room for game planning or adjustments or – I mean, they'll do some, of course. You know, they probably plan for this well, you know, in the off season and some of that stuff. But when people drive off the road when they hear this – Thursday's almost a great example of going almost pure West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Because if people can remember back to what that is, what was that? It was you run the ball. And it's shorter timing stuff, and whether it's no huddle or not, I mean, you're not asking your quarterback really to get out of pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a deep ball, it's sort of your design deep throws. But after a game like this, and look, Seattle, let's spin it forward briefly. Seattle's a very good defense, statistically very good against the pass. They went into the game today, Tom, or Sunday, 21st against the run. And then, you know, Todd Gurley ran for 120 yards on just 16 carries. I mean, if there's a weakness to that defense, it's clearly on the ground.
Right.
Maybe that's, you know, but you're right. Who would have thought at this point Aaron Rodgers is kind of an issue.
Yeah, and
some of an issue.
I think we might as well start looking ahead to Seattle because it's going to come up so quickly. Seattle's going to probably load up to stop the run, and it's to their advantage to make teams pass in that stadium because it's so loud and it's so hard to communicate that, you know, they're better off playing with an extra guy in the box, which they usually do anyways. You know, that's the whole Cam Chancellor aspect of that defense. But, you know, I keep thinking the Packers need some kind of spark somewhere that from some area. And, you know, it either has to be from the secondary coming up with interceptions, which they got one against the Dolphins, but they could have had three, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, the defense scoring, and then special teams, which I wrote about for Monday morning. And, you know, they have a lot more talent on special teams than they used to, but they are still making catastrophic mistakes. And, you know, I thought about it. They could be 7-1-1 if their special teams had come through for them. I mean, think about it. If Crosby makes all those field goals in Detroit, they win. If Montgomery takes out, you know, doesn't take out the kickoff and they drive, they win that game.
And that was a game where, you know, getting into field goal range didn't seem that out of capacity. No. They were kind of moving the ball that game.
They were. And, you know, the Rams were worn down just like the Packers were. New England, so you can't say that it was definitely a difference in the game, but when Tanyan roughed the punter, it was a tie game. Packers had just had stopped New England on a goal line stand and then stopped them on third down on the next drive. And so, you know, they had a chance to start at midfield. And, you know, then you had the running. Now, granted, their next series is when Aaron Jones fumbled. Right. But still, it probably would be a different game.
Yeah, there's a difference from starting at your own 7.
Yeah.
As opposed to your own 45.
Yeah. So, and we all know that Seattle is Green Bay's absolute house of horrors when it comes to special teams. Nobody can forget the NFC Championship game in 15. So, you know, the only thing I can see that can really save them this season, one is for some reason Trevor Davis becomes like a force on kicks and punts. And the other is that they start getting some interceptions.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You know, the Brock Osweiler gift at the first quarter of the drop shotgun snap was the first turnover in three games. I mean, it was the Kevin King interception against San Francisco.
Yep.
And you'd have to even rewind it further back before you saw, you know, an Alexander pick against Buffalo or even Ha-Ha Clinton Dix's turnovers against, I think, Washington. He had one and whatnot. But anyway, yeah, it was this defense hasn't turned anyone over, whether it be by force fumbles or catching interceptions. And yeah, special teams, Tom, I mean, you ran through the list, you know, offsides on kickoffs when you can't run.
Yeah.
You know, holds, well, other blocks in the back. I mean, which have negated big, not, you know, you mentioned the other, you know, Mason Crosby in Detroit. There was a 65-yard return wiped out on a penalty. There was another big return against San Francisco that, you know, maybe wouldn't have made that as close. So that group, no explosion in the return game. I mean, Tremont Williams looked like he was on his way to something, and then
he
sandwiched and fumbled. And
well, yeah. And the block punt, they have a block punt.
Yes.
And they allow a fake field goal or a fake punt for a first down. Any of those three things happen at Seattle and they're going to lose. I mean, we already know that they can lose in Seattle because of special teams. So it would be no surprise if that happened again.
Yeah, it's look, I mean, 4-4-1, they kind of needed to reset their season, Tom. I think a loss to Miami at home would have been nearly disastrous, I guess, for what they are still trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're 500, what, we've just talked about quarterback play to a degree, lack of turnovers on defense, and yeah, special teams has been, I mean, the block punt that led to a touchdown against Minnesota seems so, so long ago.
Yeah.
You know, week two. You know, that group just, there's been no explosive plays.
No. Now, I pointed this out in the story. I mean, their kickoff coverage is outstanding, but they have some really good athletes on special teams. Oren Burks, Josh Jones, Crawford.
Yeah, good solo tackle on Sunday.
Yeah, Raven Green is a good athlete. I mean, they just have some really young, aggressive, fast talent. But they just, I don't know, that for some reason they don't harness it. And I know everyone wants to fire Ron Zook, and he needs to be held responsible for some of those stupid mistakes. But whatever the case, you know, they have to find a way to make special teams an advantage because it hasn't been an advantage for them this year.
No, I guess in this context, it's good that whatever happened in the missed extra point in Buffalo and then the kicks in Detroit, you know, Mason Crosby hasn't really been an issue.
Right.
Because, I mean, let's not forget the J.K. Scott squib punt in L.A. add on top of it.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, it's been one thing after another.
Crosby is a blip because he's hit 9 straight since missing the 5 kicks in Detroit. So he seems to have that taken care of. But, well, the rest of it, I guess we've gone on about it. Let's talk about the defense. This is another area where I think they can make some gains, and it's an area that has to hold up in order for them to have any chance this season.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, if there's something to take away from this Miami game, it's okay. So, yes, three starting linemen down. Clay Matthews mentioned that as well. And then he added, however, that means we need to win. And Dean Lowry won. Montrevious Adams sighting.
Yeah.
Kenny Clark. I mean, there were six sacks by six different people. Raven Green, I think, was really the only scheme pressure. Kyler Fackrell again.
Right.
You know.
Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark. So that has to be a bit encouraging. I would imagine for guys like Lowry and Adams specifically for Lowry to continue to play well, for Adams to kind of get something finally. Mm-hmm. And he's been part of the rotation a little more. Can that build a little more? And I guess coverage-wise, look, they were down Kevin King. Jair Alexander went out late. Bashaud Breeland went out late. Kentrell Bryce went out early.
Right. If there's a positive to this game, it's that they survived that. You know, I mean, give Brian Gutekunst credit. He did not stop collecting cornerbacks through this whole season. He's just kept adding corners. Tony Brown came in, played a pretty darn good game. He had I believe he had a pass breakup. He played a wide receiver screen beautifully. You know, did exactly what you got to do when you're in man-to-man in that situation. You know, he's a speed burner. I can see why they kept him around despite his really stupid mistakes in Detroit. So, you know, Raven Green. I mean,
yeah, that was – he was thrown – his first defensive snap of the year, Tom, was 3rd and 7 at the Packers 11 early in the half.
Mm.
And – first time he's played defense all year, and he's the one who has to defend Mike Gesicki. You know, definitely was a target for Brock Osweiler on that play. Ends up, you know, busting out, and they held him to a field goal. He also had a near interception on the other end in the red zone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just again, sort of that the fact that he was ready to play. Whatever the limits are of the Dolphins' offense, that, you know, it still has to be defended.
Right. Right. You know, a question, and I sort of asked Alexander, Jair Alexander this. Things have gone too well for him, for a rookie. You know, I said, you know, things are easy for you. And he just kind of laughed, you know, but it's true. I mean, this guy is having an amazing rookie season, and it's, you keep waiting for him to get beat or something, but he is a really good player.
Yeah, the only time you've seen him really struggle was, I think, very early in the year. Maybe it was the Minnesota game.
Yeah.
And obviously, what receivers are we talking about at that point? Right. And then Sunday, you know, he fell down and Osweiler overthrew Devontae Parker.
Very lucky there.
You know, but it's all contested. You know, if catches are made on him, he's there for the solo tackle. There are no catch and runs with him.
And they lined up Kenny Stills against him for much of the game. You know, he stays in one spot, and they put Stills there. And the other thing that's remarkable about it was Alexander's supposed to be a slot corner. Everybody tagged him as a slot corner, and he's playing outside, and he's seems to be better outside than he is inside.
Yeah, it's, you know, in this game, the way it's set up, you need to be able to cover. And, you know, especially, frankly, look, Miami doesn't have the greatest of receiving corps.
No.
And going forward, you know, Seattle doesn't have the greatest of a receiving corps. If you, whatever with Bashaud Breeland's groin and you know, Kevin King's hamstring, Josh Jackson was picked on a little bit by the Dolphins.
Yes, he was.
But if Jair Alexander is in a position where Doug Baldwin can kind of get eliminated sometimes, that's a big deal.
They have to follow him. They have to follow him.
It's getting to that point, though, with some of these soft tissue injuries with the Packers' corners.
Yeah, but I mean from a talent standpoint, they have to have Alexander follow Baldwin around wherever he goes, shadow him.
That's interesting.
Him.
That'd be the first time Patton does that all year.
Yeah, because I just – you know, I don't know if Breland can handle him. I know Josh Jackson can't handle him, you know, off the line. You know, maybe they play some sort of zone. But it would be really interesting to see if Alexander were matched up against Baldwin, who's a just a really tough cover.
Yeah. And you were talking about scramble drill. I mean, the chemistry between Doug Baldwin and Russell Wilson in that regard is uncanny.
Yes.
That would be interesting. I mean, Alexander's a guy who would, A, love that challenge, and not that he needs any more motivation. Here's a guy who wears his face paint home.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not that he needs any more reason to get fired up to play football. But that would, I mean, if can you imagine if he walked in Monday and Mike Pettine said, this is a game plan, is you follow him wherever he goes.
Yeah.
I mean, for as good as Alexander's been, you know, that might put him in a mindset to play perhaps his best game.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he would love that.
Right.
Absolutely love it. You know, overall, I don't think you can fault the secondary for too much. You know, like Josh Jackson has to get his tackling together. Yeah. That's a real weakness for him, and he's got to stop doing the arm tackling kind of stuff.
Yeah, arm tackling and grabbing. I think he got called for another hold, or you know, they picked on him a little bit. I mean, he's been penalized quite often.
Mm-hmm. And which, he's a guy who should be. It's time for him to get a couple picks.
Yeah,
you know, that's what he was brought here for.
Yeah, and he went for one early in the game, yes, and missed, and that led to a huge gain by the Dolphins. So, you know, I think there's always that chance a corner kind of feels they have to take some time.
I don't have a problem with him taking that.
Yeah, that was in the brief moment that happened live. I almost thought he had the ball. I mean, it was close.
Yeah, and Alexander just baited Osweiler on that one. It was a crossing route. He just was acting like he was behind the receiver, and then he just turned it on. And he should have picked that off.
Yeah.
That would have been a pick six. So, you know, like I said, I think there is something to hang their hat on with the secondary. But they got to start turning teams over.
Right. Which is, you know, doing it on the road against, you know, a Super Bowl winning quarterback is not the easiest place to continue that trend.
Yeah.
But, you know, Russell Wilson, because he does run around a little bit, you know, I don't know if people stay glued to their televisions after the Packers games. I mean, he makes the ball available sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They picked him off five times in that NFC Championship game, and he still beat him. So I want to pose this question. So, you know, I can't write any more columns about giving the ball to Aaron Jones more. I mean, I that column is wiped out. But I do want to know, if you have sort of a sleeper guy that you think could help them turn whatever it is, turn the season around, if there's anybody you think is headed for a big year or a big second half.
Yeah, big second half. Are we talking offensively or generally speaking?
Anywhere.
Yeah, I'm struggling with the offense here, Tom, especially if we're going to do in the context of seven games. I haven't seen the tight end position really blossom at all, and I don't see that changing. You know, I could go chalk and say Marquez Valdes-Scantling continues to be, you know, the guy. But where was he Sunday against Miami?
Yeah, what, you know, six catches, 44 yards.
I mean, the six catches were good. I mean, but I guess when I say that, it's like, what is his role? You know, if Randall Cobb's not there, is he just kind of the possession guy? Six for 44, six is good.
Yeah.
You know, but you need the home run threat. And, you know, to me, it's got to be Mike Daniels. You know, we spoke about him briefly in your quiz to me about who had the most pressures on the team going into this week, and it was Mike Daniels. You don't have the sack total.
Right.
He didn't have a sack Sunday of the six.
Yeah.
I hate to go to the paychecks, Tom, but I don't think Nick Perry's doing it. I don't think Clay Matthews is doing it. I don't think Randall Cobb's doing it, or Jimmy Graham.
No.
We're running out of guys. And to look at, to say, I think because Mike Daniels has played well, just doesn't have kind of the sexy numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think – I don't know if Mike Daniels is a sleeper, but after nine games of a relatively sort of blank stat line, if you're looking at raw stats,
yeah,
I think he's a guy that – especially with Kenny Clark emerging and this rotation of linemen that seems to be getting some traction. I don't know if that's a sleeper in your book, but I guess I'll just go with him because he's shown enough. And then through seven games, maybe, you know, that pressure turns into a sack.
Yeah.
That sack turns into a sack fumble.
Right.
Up the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does that count?
Yeah. I got to go deeper. No, absolutely. No. That's what I'm asking. I'm one guy who can, you know, push them ahead, push them forward in a way that really makes an impact.
How about yourself?
Well, I'm a little bit both these guys that I am thinking about are not going to win you a championship, and I can't answer my own question, which is pretty
bad. Is that
why
you asked me?
yeah, exactly. But I, for some reason, I have thought about Trevor Davis and having a return game. I just think a return game is really, really critical. And I just remember last year in a Cleveland game, he just came up with a big punt return. Now, he also made a lot of mistakes, but I don't think you can – you don't come up with guys with his kind of speed. And he's really bulked up. And that kind of athleticism on offense is kind of rare. I don't know that he can help him at wide receiver, but he might be able to help him there. The other guy, and it's never going to happen, but I really think they need to use Robert Tonyan. I just don't see any threat. You know, they're going to see some cover twos, and I don't see anybody running down the middle of the field. Jimmy Graham is not going to run down the field. Now, the thing about that is, Jimmy Graham still draws double teams.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. you know, a team with a good safety, New England used Patrick Chung, and I thought he covered Graham everywhere. But they just don't have someone streaking down the middle of the field, someone who can really open some things up in the zone. And I don't know enough about whether Tonyan blows routes or, you know, he probably can't block, but he's an athlete, and, you know, it's taken him this long to find out that Aaron Jones can play, and it's taken him, you know, it was by accident they found out Raven Green can play a little bit, and, you know, that Equanimeous St. Brown, it's taken a while, and he's contributing. I don't think they have anything to lose to improve their tight end.
No, hey, look, when you're grasping at straws at the middle of the road, you know, in the middle of the conference, you know, you got to kind of throw caution to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
Davis is interesting because this team has been backed up quite a bit on punts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah. Tremont Williams is back there for a reason, but Tremont Williams is also a linchpin of that secondary. And, you know, he's making smart decisions also right. for himself. And not saying he's not doing his job, but I mean he's picking and choosing his return avenues very carefully, and that's what he's there
as
for.
As long
no
as he holds on to it, that's right. really and what matters.
So, but I, and I'm not saying that, you know, him letting a ball go at the eight is Trevor Davis should catch that and try to return it. You know, everything is different on the scheme of the block and whatever. But to your point, if they can start a drive at their own 30, as opposed to the 12,
yeah.
I mean, that could be a field goal attempt. I mean, for a team, again, that has struggled to score so much, small things like an extra 15 yards on a kick return mm-hmm. or a punt return mm-hmm. Could be the difference.
Yeah.
You going know, forward. You never you know.
And if they can find a way to get the ball to him on end of rounds or whatever, I'm dreaming.
Eight more columns, and then in the wild card round, you'll see Trevor Davis take four jet sweeps.
Yeah,
against,
right.
You know.
You're hallucinating now. I was hallucinating a minute ago. Now you're hallucinating. It's so late. I think I'm grasping at all kinds of straws. I, you know, these next two games determine their season.
Without a doubt.
If they lose both, I think the season's over. 4-6-1. Even though, let's look at the standings here. I haven't, I'd have to call it up. But,
It's not a, put it this way. As we get the exact numbers here, heading into this game, they were 10th in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
They had already dropped a tiebreaker to Washington, which is in a wild card position.
Right.
They had already tied with Minnesota, who's ahead of them for a wild card position. Seattle now falls behind them with a fifth loss.
Yep. Atlanta's behind them now.
And Philadelphia was also, but again, it's...
Let's look at all the wild cards. Dallas 4-5, Philadelphia 4-5, Minnesota 5-3-1, Green Bay 4-4-1, Carolina 6-3, Atlanta 4-5, Seattle 4-5.
Yeah,
And that's
it's a big group within a game, and you know the Packers. Who do they play? They play Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
They play Atlanta.
Yep,
and they go on the road to Minnesota.
Right. Right.
It's one of those things where you're right. I don't think you can give away conference games to teams who are right around you. It's the tiebreaker part of it.
Yeah.
Not just the head to head, but again in the NFC, I'm not a big believer in the Bears still, but what I will give the Bears credit for is they beat the teams they should beat.
Yeah.
And they play a last-place schedule. That's why the league does what it does. So right. The Packers need to hold up their end of the bargain with a tougher schedule and win some of these road games.
Yeah.
You can't go 0-8 on the road, you know?
So looking at the strength of victory for the NFC North, so... who do you think has the highest? That means you've beaten teams with the best number of victories.
Right.
If you had to guess, who do you think's had that? Which would sort of indicate they have one of the hardest schedules.
Off the top of my head, I'll go with the Packers.
They're second. Detroit, actually.
Oh, yeah, because they beat New England.
And the Packers. Yeah. And so they're at 569. The Packers are next at the combined winning percentage of the teams they've beaten is 441. The combined winning percentage of the teams Minnesota has beaten is 322, and the combined percentage of the teams that Chicago has beaten is 321.
Yeah. The Bears played their whole AFC East schedule in a row, and they lost to Miami and New England, but they beat the two they should.
Right.
And, you know, the Packers will get New York in December, which is, could be an important road win at that point.
Yeah.
But to date, Chicago's won the games they're supposed to. I'd argue, that they pounded Detroit. The Packers gave one away there in terms of the division.
Yep.
So that's another hurdle to have to, get over as this division race tightens up.
Yeah. To this date, Green Bay has had the hardest schedule in the North. At 547, Chicago's at 406, Minnesota 458, and Detroit 488. I don't know if that means anything, but it's not really getting any easier. But it sort of puts them, I guess, in reach of Seattle and Minnesota, and those are just two teams that they absolutely have to beat.
They do.
It just comes down to it.
They do.
I don't know how if they split. So then they've got five losses. Then I think they need to win out.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. And the reason that because it's the divisions. They play the AFC East, which is a suck fest outside of New England.
Yep.
And they play the NFC West, which is awful at the bottom, Arizona and San Francisco, great at the top. And then you got the one kind of mediocre team. And there it is. The Bears beat Seattle, right? Way back in week two?
Yes, they did.
And now that was when Seattle was, I think they were missing like four linemen and whoever else. But, that's, again, when you get to this point of the season,
yeah.
Look, the Bears handle business in the NFC West. They've got LA at home, but they've beaten the other teams.
Yeah. Seattle's strength of victory, so that the teams that they've beaten, is 278.
That tells you the Packers should have a good chance.
Yeah, that it's not an unbeatable team. Now, they're playing in a really tough environment, but this is not a team that's unbeatable.
So, no, I mean, because it's a flawed team. I mean, it's, again, they have a nice ranking on the defense yet again, you know, but it's not that defense.
Right.
And their histories were struggling on offense, you know, since the Russell Wilson contract. I mean, that line, I think, is getting healthier.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's in a much better shape.
And Rashad Penny, I think, you know, they spent that draft pick. He ran for over 100 yards against the Rams. Although I think that defense has proven it's not as – hasn't played up to that
right.
level. But anyway, I mean, Rashad Penny's a real dude. So, you know, there's weapons there, of course. Russell Wilson, you know, says it all there with what he can do to you.
Yeah. So the teams they've beaten are the Cowboys, the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Lions, and that's it.
Hey, look! Everybody beats the Lions. That's the one.
That loss for this is Packers haunting team the Packers.
It is.
It really is. I mean that loss means they have to win at Minnesota, in my opinion, and they got to win in Chicago.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, I think we've covered a lot. I don't know if we'll have a podcast before the Thursday game. I kind of doubt it.
And yes, short turnaround.
Yeah, short turnaround. We're both. Got to leave on Wednesday. So we'll have one after the game on Thursday night. And hopefully you'll be there to join us just like you are now. And the only other thing I have to say is remind you that we're brought to you by Potawatomie Casino. You can win a Caribbean cruise during the Island Time giveaway this November. Just go to paysbig.com. And that's /islandtime, paysbig.com/islandtime. Also, get ready because I think after the Minnesota game, or maybe even the week of the Minnesota game, Leroy Butler and I will be filming our five questions and our X's and O's at the Fire Pit Lounge. So get ready for that. Beyond that, anything you want to add, Jim?
No, looking forward to it. It's my first trip. To Seattle.
Really?
It's a bucket list city for me.
All right, we'll have to throw some salmon together, all right?
So looking forward to that. I'm not sure how much the Packers are, but I am.
Yeah, me too. I like Seattle. All right, thanks for joining us. I will start up the music and say we will talk to you after the game Thursday.